Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Making us a part of your Monday morning. We appreciate you doing so. And we do it with the man himself, the pride of Penn State, the three-time Pro Bowler, LeVar Arrington.
How about two-time All-American? How about that?
Damn right.
Yeah, I like All-American better than All-Pro, man.
And by the way, a little tease ahead for tomorrow because we're going to be working together tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's some rumblings, some more criticism of James Franklin, your head coach. Want to get your thoughts on it. Very interesting the way that he is covered by some people.
It is.
It's a little odd. But we will be getting into that here. We are obviously talking a lot NBA and the situation in the Eastern Conference. You've got the 76ers going home. Atlanta is on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They will take on the Milwaukee Bucks. So you had two Game 7s in the Eastern Conference, and you had both road teams winning the Game 7s in the Eastern Conference, which, you know, is a bit surprising, but it may have something to do with, you know, home court, injuries, all that stuff that would play in and factor into all this stuff. The other strange thing that is happening is how long have you lived in Southern California for? Let me just ask you that.
Oh, man, it's going on 7 years now.
Yeah. So you've been here long enough to know that. And I've been here virtually my entire life, but we've been here long enough to know that the narrative on the Los Angeles Clippers is a real one. That the Clippers, you know, get to a certain point in the postseason, or they get to a certain point during the season and they can't figure it out. They get to the second round and they can't advance past that. So the fact that the Clippers, even though they lose game one to the Phoenix Suns, because Phoenix is rolling right now and getting past the Lakers, it seems like they've found a new instilled confidence. The fact that the Clippers were able to finally break through to the conference finals and do so after their best player suffered the knee injury in Kawhi Leonard, it's just bizarre. I can't figure it out. Like what happened that all of a sudden Kawhi Leonard goes down, and not only do they win on the road in Utah, but they make a massive comeback on Friday night and they end up winning the series to go on to the conference final. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like how is that happening with this team being as good as they are with the loss of Kawhi Leonard?
You know, when I think about this Clippers team, I tend to look at what we haven't seen in some of the other teams, which is role players stepping up and really, you know, assuming the responsibilities of what it takes to have success. When I think about Kawhi Leonard going out, he's the catalyst of your team. But then you see a guy like Terrence Mann, who grows up right in front of your face.
Yep.
You see a guy like Reggie Jackson, who has now become a journeyman, who is lighting it up from outside when needed. You see a guy like Pat Beverly continuing to be that gnat. Just you just hear it. And you'd be swinging. You ever wonder to yourself, and this is just like a sidebar, just a random sidebar, but you ever think to yourself, like, okay, you know, you hear a fly. A fly can't hurt you. I've never heard of death by a fly. I've never heard of death by a gnat. But yet and still, when one of them gets near you and you can hear it near your face or near your ears, what do? We start swinging, freaking out, like it's going to hurt you or it's going to kill you. It's the craziest thing. It's kind of like Pat Beverly. He has convinced you that he is, like, dangerous to you, and it works. And when I look at this Clippers team, you got to give so much credit to their willingness to compete in what was seemingly a series that, you know, Utah had took handily control over once Donovan Mitchell came back into the lineup after game one. But again, the second amount of credit goes to Tyronn Lue and his coaching staff for looking at what it was that, Utah was doing. They were enjoying two things in particular. One was Donovan Mitchell's ability to aggressively attack the rim, creating space for other guys on the court who at the time were making their shots. And Rudy Gobert's ability to alter the shots.
Yeah.
Those were the two things that they were leaning on, and Tyronn Lue and his group changed up the strategy and came up with game plans that were working for the Clippers. I think that's what, you know, they're going to have to try to do against the Suns. But, Jonas, if you can't get past the Suns without CP3 being out there, this series could be a quick one.
I know.
And an ugly one for the Clippers. And then we'll be having the same conversation that you started the segment off with.
Yeah, listen. And by the way, I would rather wake up with a tarantula on my face than have a gnat buzz in my ear.
Would like you really?
Yeah, 100%. I'd rather wake up and have a tarantula smothering my face than a gnat buzzing my ear. I can't stand it. It's just the most obnoxious sound of all animals is the gnat buzzing in the ear. I don't even know if you consider it an animal. You just call it an insect or whatever. But
yeah,
it's very bothersome.
It's an animal of a problem. How about that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. 100%.
It's mosquitoes for me. I just can't. You know, I ended my honeymoon 2 days short. We honeymooned and we got married in Turks and Caicos. We left 2 days early because of mosquitoes waking
they're
me
huge.
Up in the night.
Listen, you go to the
it's very
South.
Very intimidating.
First time I ever went to the South, I was in South Carolina and I was there trying to get hired at a radio station. And I couldn't figure out. I was sitting at this, you know, outdoor restaurant getting a bite to eat. And I couldn't figure out why behind the bar they had mosquito spray. I didn't make any sense, because out here in Southern California, you don't deal with the humidity. You deal with heat.
Right.
It's just not humidity.
You're correct.
And then you see they're like the size of Volvos, and they're flying around, and they're just destroying. Yeah, and so you literally, they were handing this bottle of spray to people at the bar. They were spraying their arms and covering themselves. I thought it was so weird. And then I wake up the next morning and I've got multiple bites all over me. It's just, it's you know, so you learn these things. You
and
figure it out
itch.
The more you travel.
They're very irritating. Like I hate mosquito bites. They're the worst.
Yeah, it's a rough way to go. Speaking of injuries and dealing with some of the pain here, what is happening with Kawhi Leonard? I feel like we're not getting the complete story when it comes to his injury. Feels like something's up.
I mean, I don't know. They said it's a knee sprain. MCL? Is it an MCL?
They threw out ACL the first time.
ACL, okay.
Now they're saying knee sprain. And I just, it feels like, and again, what the hell do I know? But it just feels like there's something else going on there, that maybe there's either at least a partial tear of the ACL, but it feels like Kawhi is not coming back.
He's not coming back.
Yeah, I agree.
I think when you see, here's what happens when you get sprains. When you get sprains, sometimes you bruise the bone. And when you get bone bruises, like if he has any type of like injury that way to the knee, it takes longer to heal.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's the way he came down. I feel like he kind of bruised his bone. And when you get those type of bruised bone type of injuries, they are so painful and so hard to play through, because it creates so much swelling and so much stiffness. I call it angry knee. Like when your knee is angry, you cannot play through an angry knee. And that's, I think he might have, if they were giving a diagnosis that, you know, in my estimation, he's got angry knee.
No, the bone bruise is a real thing. The one major knee injury I suffered, I dislocated my kneecap and tore my meniscus and stuff.
Oof.
And they told me, they're like, look, you don't need surgery. A lot of this stuff will just, you know, heal on its own. But they said the bone bruise will last for 8 to 9 months. They said that you have a bone bruise. That's going to be the longest to try and recover from. I get the sense that he's not coming back, that they're trying to be as vague as possible. You know, maybe there's the outside chance he could possibly make a return, but you know, they threw out there he's got an ACL injury of some sorts. Well, if it's a partial tear, I mean, like do you risk bringing him back? I mean, you know, we were talking about this over the weekend and just talking about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill had a partial tear of an ACL, ended up fully tearing it, and it was done. Charles Peanut Tillman is an example. I remember when he was playing with the Carolina Panthers that year they went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He had a partially torn ACL. He decided he wanted to play on it because he knew he didn't have a long time left in the NFL, and he wanted to try and make a run at the Super Bowl. And either it was second to last game of the season or late in the season, he ended up fully tearing it. So do you run the risk of bringing Kawhi back on a partially torn ACL if you understand that there's a real possibility this thing could be a full tear, if that is in fact what's happening with his knee?
Yeah, I think you've already answered that question.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can risk, you know, him tearing. If that is the case, I don't think that you take that risk. I think you got to err on the side of caution with a guy with any guy. Honestly, I mean, let's be real here. Any guy, I think you err on the side of caution. But certainly with your team star, you don't want to ruin him. So, but when you think about these type of situations, I mean, you think about the KD situation. He came back. He ends up tearing his Achilles during the game. And, there have been times where you look at the what's considered to be the toughness and, you know, the playing through it. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, Embiid was out there with a torn meniscus and, you know, and he put it on the line for his team and this, that, and the other. You know, it's always fun and good to say they put it on the line and he was a great competitor that was willing to push through it and this, that, and the other. But if you see him 20 years down the line and he can't walk real well or needs a knee replacement, or, you know, you're looking at him, you're like, man, that's a damn shame. Look at what happened to Joel Embiid. He probably should have took better care of himself while he was playing. So you're sitting there condemning dude. He can't walk anymore based off of him being a warrior and a perceived, you know, soldier, you know, dealing with these types of injuries. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard has come under so much scrutiny in years past for this same – well, not the same thing, but, you know,
load management.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, you know, if he's one of the originators of people having problems with load management, I would assume that where he's at right now, they're certainly not going to take any chances with him.
That being said, you and I have worked together for 2 hours. I can assure you, if you were Kawhi Leonard, LeVar Arrington, you'd be playing.
Yes.
Yeah, you would be playing.
That's ultimately probably why my career ended early. I came back early from an injury, Jonas. I came back early, and I didn't even make it to a game before I re-injured myself. I was in practice, and my leg went out. Like, I was dealing with a knee injury and, you know, hit a slick spot on the grass and re-injured it,
God.
You know. So, and that's,
and you knew you right know. Away, right?
Oh,
right
yeah.
away you knew.
Of course
yeah.
you did.
Yeah.
You know? But you're right. I mean, I don't have any regrets about it, you know, but it's sometimes you gotta make wise decisions even through the noise of criticism and you know, non-flattering ways of talking about, you know, the person in question. And that's always the biggest challenge, is the perception, because, you know, you and I both know, Jonas, this is entertainment. Just like what we're doing right now, it's entertainment. So if we crack these microphones and people aren't responsive to it and don't feel great about it and don't, you know, want more, you know, you get replaced.
Yeah.
So you got to play hurt sometimes, you know, because every single time somebody else is able to take your spot and get that opportunity, they're thinking that I don't want to relinquish what I have right now. So they're trying to take the spot that you have. So it's always that fine line of what's wise and what isn't when thinking about how to handle certain situations. And this probably will be one of them. I mean, look at the James Harden situation, right?
Yep.
Did he truly help? I mean, he didn't hurt them. He had, you know, he had a good amount of points, but he wasn't James Harden, you know, and that's the thing about it. He came back with the hamstring not being what it needed to be because they needed the help. But make no mistake about it. Does that have a long-term impact on James Harden's health moving forward? I don't know. You know what I mean? Those are the biggest questions that have to be answered.
He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, he is one of the most opinionated and brutally honest voices in all of sports radio. There is a major, major issue going on with one franchise, and we will go to the place of it all, the scene of the so-called crime, and we'll do so next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Right now, kind enough to join us here. It is an Aftermath Monday in Philadelphia. He is Fox Sports Radio host, Philly Sports Talk Radio legend, the great Anthony Gargano with us here on FSR. Ant, what's happening?
Anthony G.
I can't take it. Take it, stop.
Hey, the morning after, what is the describe the scene there in Philly after the 76ers performance last night?
One word, apocalyptic.
Oh, wow.
That's the word. Yeah, it's bad, LeVar. I mean, bad.
I understand Philly.
I mean, we live and die with this stuff, and when you have a game seven at home, like, you give away two games in the series, right? Give them away. You go down, you win game six. That makes you think you got a little something. You got a little moxie. And then you come back, and they played scared, and they played tight. And it was just haunting is the word, haunting.
And this fallout that's taking place. One thing I know about Philadelphia, the fans hold the players and the coaches to a very, very high standard of accomplishment, which is interesting because y'all didn't really win too much with the football team. But that's – I digress. I'm just saying.
Here he goes.
How about that?
Get Trotter on the line.
hey, you know what's funny about that? Trotter – I saw somebody FaceTimed me with Trotter the other day, and I said, what are you doing talking dumb like that on radio? But I expected that from Trotter. But that's – Let's stay on topic here. Listen, with the way the series ended, we can look at it and say it was a close game all the way down to the end. It got away with some careless play, some careless turnovers. Is it really as bad as people are making it out to be? Would be the question that I would ask.
Yeah, brother. I mean, yes, it's his dad.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
here's
the thing.
To give us some
you're
hope
the
here.
Favorite. You're at home. You know, you're supposed to be the veteran team. You're going to win that game. It was close. It was only close because you were tight. They didn't go on one sustained run the entire game. They didn't want to shoot. Their offense was stagnant. Your coach was scared. I mean, everybody was scared.
Mm. Yeah.
Anthony Gargano joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio host, Philly sports talk legend, Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington with you here on Outkick the Coverage. Ant, when it comes to Ben Simmons, you've seen this up close and personal for his entire time in the league. How surprised are people in Philadelphia to see this taking place? Or have you guys been watching this the entire time? And because this was the biggest stage, now everybody on the outside is getting to see what you guys have been around for a while.
Yeah, it's that. Now, and I will tell you that they've been on them for years. They get him out, And I've been a pro Simmons guy. I have to raise my hand. I went down in flames with the kid, backing this kid, because I just saw a talent. But he's got some mental issues. Like, how do you not dunk the ball? Like, that was it in the microcosm. That was his oil painting, where he goes up, and instead of dunking the ball, he's wide open at the rim. He passes off because he's afraid to go to the line. And you can't be, and you can't play timid, not anywhere, let alone here.
Yeah. Is it time then? Do you feel as though that was his last game as a Sixers player?
Probably. Yeah, the only problem, LeVar, is like, what are you going to get for him? Are you talking now pennies on the dollar? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be an issue. Jeez. As to what you can get in return. And do they have the stomach to just basically let him go? I mean, that's what we're coming down to. And the other problem is that, I like Tobias a lot. Tobias Harris, great dude. These are all good kids. But the problem is, he's not a killer either. You know, the only killer on the team is Embiid, right? Like, you got to give your big man some help. He's got to have a killer next to him. You need a Beal or somebody that's not going to turtle up in that kind of situation.
And how much blame is Doc Rivers getting?
He should get a lion's share of blame. I mean, if you just watch him coach, his body language was awful. It's a game seven, and he went with a rotation of 10 guys. There's a guy named Shake Milton, all right, one of their bench kids. He didn't play all game, and then you start him in the fourth quarter? What's wrong with you? I watched Bucks and Nets, and their starters play 95% of the game. Look at the warrior that Durant was, right? Look at those guys leaving it on the floor. And this dude's playing 10 guys like it's a December in Minnesota. What are you doing? It's no wonder why he loses games all the time and he blows big leads. I'm watching when they blew a 26-point lead. I'm watching, sitting there watching it. And I'm screaming, call timeout. Go make an adjustment. Go get a bucket to stave the run. You got to stem the run with a bucket. Horrible. Horrible.
If this is the Allen Iverson team that loses to Kobe in the finals, they win the championship this year because there's nobody on the Western side.
Because AI's got all the heart.
Indeed.
You're right.
Indeed. So, speaking of that, is this the closest? I mean, I know you said Bradley Beal. I love that name. I've heard whispers and rumblings of going after Dame Lillard and bringing him. I think that would be absolutely amazing. But was this Philly's best chance of getting a championship title in maybe, recent times? Like, how far out are they from getting one now?
Yeah, no, you're right. Listen, here's the other issue is that, to your point, all the stars aligned, man, right? You got Brooklyn gets hampered. You got that Milwaukee team and no DiVincenzo. Out west, you got young kids, the Suns, right? Clippers without Kawhi. Are you kidding me? It was there for you. I swear to God, guys, I start to think, what is it, the process and sports gods? Is this a Greek tragedy? Like, is this the gods bleeping with us? I mean, for real. This was all laid out for him. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, how do you not see the moment? It's you're on your home floor. It's freaking Father's Day.
Anthony Gargano joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio host, Philly sports talk radio legend Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington with you here on FSR. And just big picture, you've been covering Philly sports for a long, long time. Where does this stack up on the Mount Rushmore of disappointing losses in Philly sports? Like who's even in the conversation when it comes to this one?
Well, there's three of them. In 2002, to close Veterans Stadium, the Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Rondé Barber, and Donovan threw the big interception and they couldn't score and the whole thing. That was just a wretched gut punch because they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl and play Lincoln, my partner, Lincoln Kennedy's Raiders. That was their year. Number two, you remember that? And number two, 2011, the Phillies make a set a franchise record with 102 wins, and they have four aces, and they lose a game five, decisive game five. Halliday allows a run in the first inning, and then they can't score. They lose 1-0, one bloody friggin' nil. That's two, and then this one is number one.
This is
only because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Otherwise, it would be the Eagles' fault.
I was going to say, yeah, there's still some smell to those roses. You know, I mean, they're dying a little bit, but I mean, it's still smelling up the room enough that that you can kind of, you know, distract yourself, right, Ant? I mean, you still got a Super Bowl
exactly.
in your back pocket. Yeah.
Right, so. That's it. But and that's it. And guess what? They still, and they stink, too. Because they're on a rebuild. So that's going to be another long, arduous, gut-wrenching process.
You got Booby Miles, though. And he is a good one. Miles is a good one.
Anthony Gargano, listen, all that being said, this is great for what you do, though. I mean, this is like we –
I can't even go there, bro.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is you know, you're going to be
– I don't care about that.
But you are going –
I don't care about that. Sometimes it supersedes – What needed to happen supersedes, like, you know, work. And by the way, I was going to write a damn book if they get to the finals. So, I mean, no, it's not good.
Oh, they messed up your money.
Good about it.
They messed up your book money. Golly.
Yeah, everything.
A Philadelphia bestseller.
He's one of my favorites. One of the favorites of Fox Sports Radio. Not just guys on the air, but guys behind the scenes. Ant, we love you. Always appreciate
it.
Your show is already written today, Ant. Vent a little bit.
Yeah.
We appreciate you at Anthony L. Gargano on Twitter. Always love Ant and kill him today, man. You guys got a lot going on. There
all
he is,
right, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
the great,
it.
Right. Anthony Gargano.
Hey, always a pleasure, my friend.
He is the best, and he is fired up here on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, LeVar, you still have a little bit of an edge when it comes to talking about the city of Philadelphia. Feels like, you know, a little bad blood.
I really don't have bad blood. Like I said, I played for Penn State, so I represented the whole state. However, I am from the West Side, and the West Side is the best side. It's just in me to naturally feel as though I'm better than Philadelphians.
It's a very humble statement for you to make. Shout out to everybody listening in Philadelphia.
That's just me leaning on the fact that I'm a Steel City kid. Like, if you're from Philadelphia and you don't talk trash about the western side of the state. So you got to understand, I have a state championship. The only championship I have in my entire career, Jonas, is winning a state championship in high school. And you got to beat the eastern side of the state. So everything is based upon competitive nature as we're growing up. You know, that would be like somebody that's a Miami Hurricane kid having an affinity and a healthy liking for Florida State or Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't
happen.
It's just that we are natural rivals. So I say this out of love and respect to the Philadelphia people, because if I said anything different, they think I'm being disingenuous, and I would be. I would be lying. I would be saying something totally false to make them feel good about me. Whereas we meet at Penn State. But that's where it begins and ends with me as it applies to the eastern side of Pennsylvania.
And now, how rough is it as a division rival going to Philadelphia for a game? I mean, because you played in that division enough times.
Six years. You know, the funny thing about Philadelphia fans is that we had the same ones for Penn State. And a lot of the fans games is the same fans. So it's funny because Penn State fans are very, very we are hospitable people. All right. Philadelphia fans are hospitable people as well, just in a very, very different way, right? So when you're leaving State College and you're going back to Harrisburg to fly out because it's not big enough to fly out of State College unless y'all get a whole bunch of private jets and take 5-6 jets out. But if you're taking the road back after losing to us in Happy Valley, we wave and say goodbye to you on Saturdays. Like, oh, we are Penn State. Have a great trip. Go home in peace. Like, safe travels. Here's some food for you on the way. Okay, boom. And in Philly, those same fans change from being hospitable in the very, very wholesome college student way to the professional way. And it now turns into middle fingers, butt cracks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
You know, other things that will remain nameless of body parts that are shown to actually let the team that's leaving know how the Philadelphia fans really, really feel about you, which is hospitable in its own right.
Yes.
It's just very, very, very different than what it is on Saturdays in State College.
But that's the natural growth and development of a Philly sports fan. You start waving goodbye to people. Next thing you know, you close all but one finger and you let it be known that you're not happy with the team that's leaving. That's part of the development. I'm telling you.
Hey, Joe's. My wife texted me and she said, you do know that your wife is from there. Shouts out to you, Trish. Love you. Enjoy Chicago. Hey, listen, I get it. But you guys are not the best, most hospitable fans. And I didn't like watching games with her daddy. You know why? Because they're just so down on things. Like, oh, we suck. Oh, da-da-da. This is the end. Oh, it's over. Like, it's like the first play.
Yeah,
it was the first play, Jonas. It's not the last play, and you're losing like you did last night as the 76ers. It's the first play of the game, and Philly fans are already, oh, it's over. Oh, forget about it. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go mow the lawn. Like, it's the first play. Relax.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. He is LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, there is the possibility of a brand new quarterback, potentially highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That discussion next here for you. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar,
I'm so sad,
we will be doing this again tomorrow. Are you fired up about it or what?
I'm very sad right now.
Why is that?
Because I feel like the 76ers.
I mean,
the show is over.
Yeah, but.
We get to do it again tomorrow.
Oh,
though.
Hell
it's
yeah,
not
we get to do it
it's
again.
It's not game
tomorrow.
Seven yet. No. Game seven tomorrow.
And although I will say this, this is going to be the first time in a long time we haven't had a playoff game in the NBA tonight.
Oh,
rare night off. So as we wait for the conference championships the conference finals to take place.
What are you going to do with the rest of your day?
Well, listen, I mean, I've got to do a little more radio, but this is why the NFL is king, because the NFL is going to drop a bombshell or something later on today, and mm-hmm. they're going to give us something to talk about. It's mm-hmm. we're going to have content, no doubt about it.
Easily.
Yeah,
don't even worry about it.
Yeah, it's the league of note for many people, which is why I want to get into this conversation with you again. We talked about this earlier. For those of you just tuning in. There was a report out from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. He talked about the situation with the 2018 quarterback draft class. And the feeling mm-hmm. from some people is that Baker Mayfield could be the first guy to sign his contract just because it would be an easier deal to get done, because Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are seen as top 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the NFL. I want to pose this question to you, though.
All right.
If you were...
No.
Okay, if you were somebody in the NFL with an opportunity to try and strike a deal first, if you were the agent representing one of these guys, which guy do you think gets the deal done first or should do a deal first?
Who should do the deal first? Ooh. It probably would be Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Because as crazy as this may sound, I did say he has justified himself in terms of being a guy that, if you were questioning, can he be the franchise guy for this organization? I want to say I feel as though he answered those questions this past season. You don't have those questions with Josh Allen or with Lamar Jackson. So yeah. In looking at your contract negotiations with those two guys, I'm assuming you're basing doing the contract off of, you know, the other top quarterbacks in the league when you do their contracts. Whereas Baker Mayfield, you're doing his contract based off of more specifics connected to what the value is that he holds with the team. And that's very different. Those are very different circumstances. So you're talking about top contract, top tier, next level money that Lamar Jackson and Allen are going to command and demand. And right now, Baker Mayfield is in a position to be able to leverage the same exact way based off of the success. So I would want to get my deal done now, ASAP, if I'm Baker Mayfield, because I don't know if this was a one-year deal. But if it turns out that it isn't, Jonas, then he's sitting super pretty if he's able to have another year, and he's more so the reason why they had a good season.
You see, and I wonder if there's an argument to be made for Lamar Jackson just from the standpoint style of play. I mean, if you have an opportunity to get paid now, and look, you and we all know this, whoever signs first isn't going to have the biggest contract. It's a waiting game. It's all about when it's your turn, as we discussed earlier, which is why Dak Prescott is making the money that he's making, and he's making more than some quarterbacks that he's not as good in or some people view as better than him. But if you were Lamar Jackson, knowing style of play, knowing I've got an MVP in the bag already, I wonder if you would take maybe a little bit less now to get a deal done just to make sure you didn't feel like you had been left out if for whatever reason you suffered an injury scrambling, you know, on a play in Cleveland or in Pittsburgh or wherever the case may be. And next thing you know, you lose out on millions and millions of dollars. I wonder if the discussion is being had for Lamar Jackson as well.
So you're taking the prenuptial agreement approach. It's sensible. I don't think that it's realistic for him, but it's sensible to think the way you just said.
It doesn't seem like that's in the cards. But, it's an interesting discussion all the way around.
So let's keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's been a pleasure, man.
Listen, we're going to have more fun. This is going to be there's all sorts of shenanigans we will get into.
Okay.
I think it's the way that we like to operate. And without having to recap an NBA game, we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow getting into it. So
it'll be fun.
LeVar Arrington, we will do it again tomorrow. Jonas Knox, this is Outkick the Coverage right here on Fox Sports Radio.